You may be seated. That's power. I'll try not to make it go to my head. Good morning. My name is Lloyd. For those of you who don't know me, I've been at St. Matt's now for about a year. This is my first experience in the Episcopal Church, and it's been a wonderful experience. My wife and I came through the 5:30 service. At first, when I was told that the 5:30 shuts down for the summer, I thought, I love the 5:30. But since coming to the morning, I've really enjoyed the relationships and the tradition that's a part of the first or the early service. So thank you. Thank you all. Bob Ebling and five other engineers tried desperately to abort the launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger. Their data showed that the O-rings on the solid rocket boosters would fail consistently below freezing temperature. Ultimately, they were overruled by their company, Morton Thiokol, as well as NASA officials. On the day of the launch, the temperature was below freezing. 73 seconds into the flight, the shuttle broke apart, and all seven crew members lost their lives. The U.S. government's investigation into this tragedy determined the O-rings on the solid rocket boosters had failed due to cold weather. Bob retired soon after, suffering deep depression, and hasn't been the same since. 30 years later, he still believes he should have done more. He could have done more. Bob, a religious man, has prayed about this matter throughout this time. Bob told NPR's Howard Berkus during a recent interview, and I want to quote him here, "I think that was one of the mistakes that God made. He shouldn't have picked me for the job. But next time I talk to him, I'm going to ask him, why me? You picked a loser." Bob's words are a window into the intense disappointment that he feels both about himself and about God. I believe today's gospel text has a response for Bob, but not just for Bob. I believe there is a good word for us here as well. There is so much that could be discussed from all the readings from today, but I remind myself this is St. Matt's and not the Pentecostal tradition of my youth, where a three-hour, four-hour service, not a problem. I promise to stay within my time limit, and I'm sure Michael or Lars has a gong up there that they're not afraid to use. As I thought and prayed about today's reflection, my attention was captured by the words, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." I imagine the words were spoken with intensity. But why? What was God, desperate perhaps, trying to communicate to those early disciples and us by extension? I believe the biblical witness from Genesis to Revelation is clear. God is self-revealing and delights in removing all mystery as to God's character and God's essence. If this is true, how painful it must have been for God to experience creatures made in God's image and dearly loved by God, running and hiding. It was Adam and Eve who took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was their rash decision that caused issues. But I think that God was more hurt by this. I think he suffered more. In their desire to be like God in a way that was forbidden to them, while at the same time rejecting the ways in which they were like God, fear, guilt, shame entered their consciousness, and they ran and they hid as a result. A similar scenario played out between the recently freed Israelites and God on Mount Sinai. God descends on the mountain to reveal God's self to the community, but the people respond to God's presence in fear. They stay at a distance and they say to Moses, "Moses, you speak to us, but don't have God speak to us or we will die." God wanted to be close, intimate, but the people wanted God to keep God's distance. In response to the people's fear, Moses prophesied that God would send a prophet like himself. Moses urged the people to listen to the prophet. The text of Moses' words in Deuteronomy strongly implies that the prophet would contain both the awesome presence and the life-giving word of God. The early church proclaimed Jesus, the fulfillment of Moses' prophecy. And yet, Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is God up close and personal. Jesus is the one who puts to rest our wrong and harmful assumptions about God, which leads to our wrong and harmful assumptions about ourselves, which then leads to our wrong and harmful assumptions about each other. And the fruit of all these wrong and harmful assumptions? Fear, guilt, shame. The author of Hebrews says that in the past, God spoke to us in bits and pieces. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by God's Son. The author goes on to say that the Son is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. In other words, when God speaks, it sounds like Jesus. When God acts, it looks like Jesus. In response to Philip's request that Jesus show his disciples the Father, Jesus states, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Bob Ebling doesn't talk about the origin of his mental picture of God, but let me speculate. Maybe Bob is living in the older covenant of God's dealing with humanity as described in the Hebrew Bible. Perhaps Bob's view of God is informed by his family of origin. Maybe the way Bob sees himself and God comes straight out of his family's playbook. Or could it be Bob believes God is like him? After all, since Bob judges himself a loser, perhaps in his mind it is reasonable to assume God agrees with him, or worse, that he is simply agreeing with God. In light of what I would call God's big reveal, this is heartbreaking. Oh, that Bob would take to heart the words spoken on that mountain long ago. "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." This is the gospel, God's good news. The gospel, first and foremost, is not an idea or a program. The gospel is a person. In Jesus, the ambiguity concerning God's character, God's essence, has been removed. In reflecting on what it was like to see, hear, and touch Jesus, the author of 1 John proclaims that God is light, God is love, God is truth. Experiencing Jesus led this author to a profound revelation about God. The Spirit that moves among and between us, as Blair speaks about, and I would add, in and through us, carries on Jesus' legacy. Through the Spirit, we are continually reminded that God is for us. Bob has never been and never will be a loser in God's eyes. God knows that Bob and his colleagues did the very best they could to abort a tragedy. Because of Jesus, I am confident that God's deep desire is to free Bob from guilt and shame that has kept him imprisoned 30 long years. I invite us to consider how we may be relating to God in ways that intentionally or unintentionally ignore Jesus' revelation of God. Could it be how we are relating to God keeps us, like Bob, enslaved to fear, guilt, or shame? A few nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I found myself, it was just clear to me that I was angry with God and blaming God for a personal struggle that I was experiencing. Up to that point, I hadn't been conscious of this. But in the darkness of my room, as this became aware to me of this, I began to just remind myself of who God is, that God looks like and sounds like and acts like Jesus. And just a peace came over me from just reminding myself of this, a peace I could not have manufactured on my own. And it created a safe space for me to just really actually discover a creative way of responding to my struggle. Re-embracing the truth about God enabled me to discover, again, just a creative solution that up to that point, I just thought there was no way out. I tell you this as a reminder that staying conscious of the beautiful God revealed in Jesus is ongoing and requires the Spirit. We cannot do this on our own. In looking over a draft of my reflection and offering helpful suggestions, Lisa Weens Hinesone made this comment. Clinging to the love of God as revealed in Christ, it's not so much that Jesus is God, as God is Jesus, makes it possible for us to trust. What a distinction. God is Jesus. There is now no need to run and hide like Adam and Eve. There is now no need to distance ourselves from God like the ancient Israelites. And there is now no need to live in guilt and shame like Bob Ebling. So to those here suffering with fear or guilt or shame and confused as to what God is really like, hear God's word to us all. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. In closing, please know that community members are available in the side chapel during the Eucharist or after the service for anyone who would like prayer. May the love of God revealed in Jesus envelop us and heal our hurts. May we in turn be conduits of healing love to the world God so loves. Amen.